Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is twitch.tv/AndyCortez.
Oof, it was tough to wake up this morning, and then I opened up the window and I got a fresh kind of breeze, and I was like, man, review season, huh?
Yeah, review season's here. I had the same thing where I went to Starbucks like I usually do this morning, and I walked in and I asked if they had it on their menu, and they're like, what do you want? And I was like, you know, the special item, the seasonal item. Yeah. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I was like, is it not obvious? I'm asking for the review spice latte. And they're like, oh, no, we don't have that right now. And I was
they're
like, see,
out. Yeah,
this is why I don't go to Starbucks. This is why I don't go to Starbucks.
Yeah, Andy. Yeah.
How's your morning going?
It's okay, Blessing. I'm okay. I'm all right. You said you didn't get great sleep last night. What's going on?
No, what happened? It was one of those ones where last night I fell asleep. It wasn't ghosts, thank God. If it was ghosts, I'd be out of here. I was in bed by 10 p.m., which is...
Uh-oh, he froze. You think his computer just shit the bed or something?
Do you think he just totally had a complete crash? It sounds like it, Kevin.
I kind of feel like he's still talking and he doesn't realize that we're not there with him, which kind of bums me out.
The bad ghost, Kevin.
For sure. We called it, dude.
Doubt. Yeah, the ghosts heard him doubt their presence.
That's sometimes... So this happens without... you, Andy, like it's happened before where it like freezes on me like this, and it's comforting to have. Yeah, we're still alive, we're still going.
Interesting.
Okay. And it's just funny because it's like it's a lot lonelier without you, man. I'm glad you're here with me.
I'm here, Kevin. I'm here with you, big dog. Chat, how are we doing? First minute, huh? Too many reviews. I know exactly.
That's what happens, dude. Hard crash.
He's acting. So I guess we'll just continue the show without Blessing. Blessing's computer full of snakes, Kevin. There's at least three.
All the way to the top.
Three boa constrictors stuck in there. Just kind of, you know, they're all around the cooler and everything like that, Kevin. He thought it was like one of them cooler tubes, unfortunately. But this is Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, February the 2nd. I am not Blessing Adeoye Jr. I am Andy Cortez, twitch.tv/AndyCortez. And today's stories include PlayStation making 10 live service games, Dying Light 2 reviews, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames, roosterteeth.com, or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic creator code Kinda Funny, one word, on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite. Kevin, you been getting in that Fortnite recently?
I mean, this weekend, obviously, but not this last week. I'm itching, though. I'm itching.
Yeah,
I got my weeklies to get to.
I think I've definitely kind of felt the... Maybe we overdid it, and now I just need that. I need a bit of an extended break to get back into it, Kevin.
Yeah, but I feel like next weekend, if it happens, like we'll stay up till 4 a.m. again. No problem, yeah. You know what I mean?
That was an absolute disaster, and I never want to do that again.
But we will, you know what I mean?
Great.
We will.
It was great. A lot of wins. To be a part of the show, you can head to patreon.com/kindafunny, where bronze members are above.
You were live when he went on a power outage. I saw the Slack. I thought it was like before you went live. I was like,
oh, we're live. Yeah.
maybe then, Andy, I shouldn't have Googled for the Thanos gift before I came to join the party.
Did you snap him out of existence? What'd you do?
I did the final do-it-myself thing.
Oh, gotcha.
When he's out of commission, so I gotcha. Did it.
I'm on the last part of the stories right here, Greg.
Where
we do the to be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where bronze members or above get to write in, or and silver members
Why
or
does
above.
He say it like
get
that. He does say it like that.
He really, really accentuates it.
He gets the
it.
Get all the time.
It attacks it. It hits a frequency that kind of it. I need this is startling. I need in the morning, Greg. I kind of like
feel driving his car yeah. through his coffee.
It's like when someone like is gonna pretend to hit you. You know what I mean? I get that kind of thing. And you get the show ad free along with the exclusive daily post show. Greg, you could take housekeeping or I can take it if you need to warm up.
The chat is saying, I'm watching the chat right now and they are the Lou55 says, let Andy host. I say you take it. I'll be your side saddle today.
Housekeeping. You smell that? It's the smell of review season. A new kind of funny games cast is up right now and it's our Dying Light 2 review. Greg, Mike, Janet, and Blessing have all played it and they have a lot to say about it. They dive into their deep thoughts and also give early impressions of Pokemon Legends Arceus as well. Arceus. Okay, I'm sorry, everybody. That's available right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around. I can't stamp with my left finger. What's up with that, Greg?
Really? That's my right. Yeah, my left
is
way weaker.
Very weak.
My right-handed too.
Right there. My left's right there, guys.
Yeah, I just, Kevin, I think I have like years to make up with all of the snaps I've done on my right finger.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
I'm way behind. I'm decades behind on my left finger.
That's anyway, why I switch off. That's why I switch off.
You can get that on podcast services around the globe. Speaking of review season, pay attention to the Gamescast feed. Episodes could drop at any moment in the next few weeks because of embargoes, because of all the secret stuff we're working on in the background. So stay vigilant for all those upcoming game reviews. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire, James Davis Makes, Pranksy, Manny the Bagel Boy Sanchez.
He's podcast. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And Blackjack. People don't understand why I'm so excited about that.
If you haven't watched the Kind of Funny podcast, ladies and gentlemen, go watch the most recent one, the lollipop episode. Get through Andy suck on a lollipop.
I'm sorry, everybody.
Go find out where you can go support Manny the Bagel Boy Sanchez. If you are out in the New York area, you need to go support Manny, one of the Kind of Funny best friends who's about to welcome his first child and owns a bagel restaurant. Yeah.
What was the first talk we got of Manny in the post show for the prior episode?
No, it was the main show of the prior episode. There's been two episodes back to back, Manny.
Wow. Manny
the Bagel Boy was like, I guess with all this free promotion you've given my bagel shop, I should probably support you.
Very, very cool. Thank you, Manny the Bagel Boy Sanchez and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and for what forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Greg, we have 8 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
PlayStation is planning to launch more than 10 live service games by 2026. This comes from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. PlayStation plans to release more than 10 live service games by March 2026, a feat that will be helped by its acquisition of Bungie. Speaking during Sony's latest earnings call, CFO Hiroki Totoki said, through close collaboration with Bungie and the PlayStation Studios, we aim to launch more than 10 live service games by the fiscal year ending March 31st, 2026. Live service games are games that are, they're games that get updates with new content over time, often making the majority of their money through in-game purchases rather than initial sales. Totoki pointed to a huge jump in revenue from these kinds of games as part of the reason for Sony pursuing the model. From calendar year 2014 to calendar year 2021, the size of a global game content market doubled, driven by add-on content revenue from live game services, which grew at an average annual rate of 15% during this period. We expect this trend to continue going forward. Bungie's early investment into live game services with the launch of Destiny in 2014. It was 2014. Are you kidding me?
Doesn't that sound ridiculous?
That's eight years.
Someone made the joke yesterday when we were talking. I think it might have been Jeffy Grub, somebody on Twitter, about the fact that we are 8 years into Destiny's 10-year plan. And that I remember in not even 2014, I guess what you're wrong if you want to give me the actual date, but like what, 2012, 2011? When Destiny leaked because of everything that leaked and IGN reported on it, yada, yada, yada. And I remember reading that they had a 10-year plan for it. And everybody's like, no fucking way. there's no way you're going to make this into a 10-year thing. And then here we are.
Oh, my goodness. What's the next 10 years, Greg? Anyway, we'll get back into Avengers. It. Sorry about that. Oh, no.
Oh, no. That's what you say.
I already feels like it's been 20 years of that game. A wealth of experience and superb technology in the space, Totoki said. Sony sees the major asset in acquiring the studio. The strategic significance of this acquisition lies not only in obtaining the highly successful Destiny franchise, as well as major new IP that Bungie is currently developing, explained Totoki, but also in incorporating into the Sony group the expertise and technologies that Bungie has developed in the live game services space. We intend to utilize these strengths when developing game IP at PlayStation Studios as we expand into the live game services area. Greg Miller, that's a lot of live service games between now and 2026 of March, specifically.
Yeah.
What franchises do we think are going to be the ones that are actually heading over to that live game services? Well, that's
the whole thing. Like, I think, you know, PSL of UXOXO available right now. We went through, obviously, the ripples of the Bungie announcement that they were being purchased by PlayStation. And, you know, one of the things I titled the episode was that, you know, Bungie's going to revolutionize PlayStation. And it was really based off this Jim Ryan from PlayStation, Pete Parsons from Bungie interview with GamesIndustry.biz, in which Jim Ryan goes into detail. And it is, honestly, I think, especially for Jim Ryan, who is very corporate speak, speaks very plainly. In terms of like, hey, you see, we're going multi-platform. You've already seen us do that as PlayStation. PlayStation is known for single player, you know, high end AAA experiences. Bungie's known for multiplayer. We want to get in that. And we want to integrate that in. And even though apparently he didn't pay his power bill, so you can sit there and question how much Blessing knows about electricity. What I do know is that Blessing put up a great Twitter thread. Right. And he did it right after that GamesIndustry.biz article went up and before PS I Love You. And he said, in regards to being aggressive about live services, and he listed this, Insomniac is hired for a multiplayer project. Same with Sucker Punch. He's linking to different articles, by the way. Same with Sucker Punch. Naughty Dog. PlayStation partners with ex-Treyarch devs on a game that will probably be a multiplayer shooter. Firewalk is making a AAA multiplayer IP for PlayStation. Now you can go over there, you can grab into what's going on with Bungie. Of course, yes, Destiny 2 continues, but they talked about this new IP they have. They're doing one. And then you assume Blessing's not here, neither is Sancho West, but I'll look around for him. Last of Us Factions is out there. Last of Us Factions in some regard or whatever they're going to call it.
I doubt it. Highly doubt it.
Yeah. Too bad. They've already said multiple times. Andy. Once you say it, you can't cancel it. Everybody knows that. That's out there as well. And I think, you know, a little boy, it's going to be long gone in the chat now, but a little boy named Anthony Carboni, that went by in the chat earlier. And he said, quote, there's so much money in live services, end quote, says everyone looking at reports from before there were many live services. Because, of course, we made a joke about Avengers at the top of it, right? Of like, live service for a long time was the thing, was the loot box, right? It was the multiplayer shooter. It was the battle royale. It was something everyone ran to expecting to make a buck on and found out it was hard. However, I think this is different. And why I think this is different is I think you can look at something like Sucker Punch's Ghost of Tsushima Legends, a mode that nobody was expecting, that dropped, that, you know, got a fan base. People really loved it. You know, they supported it with the raid. Then they put out more content when they put out the director's cut for PS5 of Ghost. And I think if we start thinking of Sony first parties making live services like that, it gets a bit more interesting. And not as, hey, Sony Bend is going to make the next Destiny. That's not going to happen. You're not going to get something that big. You're going to get more, I would think, smaller things like this that are games with a purpose. Factions, you know, for as much as people love it, if you missed it on the first Last of Us, right, is a smaller multiplayer mode. Like, there's a lot to it. It goes on really long. That's why I didn't like it that much. But, like, it isn't meant to be you play it endless, like Warzone, right, Andy?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Making the smarter plays of not trying to do the next 10-year plan game, as opposed to making the game and being realistic and understanding that people are loving this Ghost of Tsushima Legends right now, but we understand that it's probably not going to last for the next 8 years based on the content that we're putting out for right now. How can we kind of have these smaller, more condensed experiences? I think that's definitely the right play.
Why do you think they would need more smaller, condensed experiences? Games that could end quicker? Could it be because PlayStation Spartacus will need content in the way Xbox Game Pass needs content? And maybe not every game needs to be something you play for 400 hours?
This guy's thinking in 4D right now. This guy, Greg Miller.
What I do over here?
Are you on the board? How do you know all this stuff?
You know, I'd rather not reveal my sources.
Oh, okay.
Now, Blessing confirms his power is out until 130.
Awesome.
First off, I've never gotten that kind of report from anybody. That, you know what I mean? PG&E has never given me something that specific. So I need to know what's happening. What is somebody speed running Banjo-Kazooie or some shit today? Is that what he's trying to stay home and watch?
I wonder what Haim was doing in that room to make the power just explode. You know what I mean?
Well, he's got like an Iron Man heart now, right? So he's probably over there working on an arc reactor. He's got all the stuff going on.
So true. That's so damn true. Anyway, this is all interesting stuff, and I'm excited to see exactly what sort of titles make that jump over, and whether the amount of substance we'll see is the thing that I'm interested in most.
You played Legends, didn't you?
Yeah, I really dug Legends.
Did you? Yeah, right. Are you down for that? Like that? This is one of the things we started talking about. PSN Love You, and I think it's bled into maybe a post show or a different show here or there. Like a smaller experience. I know you love a good multiplayer thing. I know you love, you know, you're out there Warzone clicking heads, as the kids say on Twitch.tv/AndyCortez. Are you fine with smaller experiences that would be something akin to, and I'm not, this isn't what the game I'm pitching, but akin to, I think, how we all played Aliens Fireteam Elite for like 3 days, a week or whatever, where I was like, this is fun. And like, this is the thing on PS Love You I talked about is like, I feel like Games Pass and what games like this could be, they remind me of Blockbuster, when you'd go and rent a game for a weekend for a sleepover. And you'd have fun with it, but you didn't put in your whole, you know, at the time, $50 or whatever, so you didn't feel like you had the same expectations.
Yeah, those games that where maybe the average person will put in $2, but you get the whale who's going to put in $130, and that kind of happens every once in a while. I'm totally down for those experiences, but that's also just due to my nature of just getting super hyper-focused on one thing for at least 3 days and then quickly growing tired of it. I feel like that's kind of my MO with a lot of multiplayer games, and it's never I feel like people will say, oh, well, Andy stopped playing that game super fast, it must not be good. No, I just moved on to another game. That's just kind of how I work with video games. So I'm super down for those more, again, experiences that are really full of substance and good gameplay and a great experience, but I don't need to be there for a 10-year plan, because I won't be there for a 10-year plan. And I think a lot of that also just comes from the fear of getting left behind in a lot of these games as well.
For sure.
And I think that can happen pretty easily with a game like Destiny 2, which I feel like 100%. I think about once a week, should I go back this week with this next expansion? And then I see a tweet from somebody saying, holy shit, I'm lost in Destiny 2. And I go, nah, I'm good.
It's
probably
a full-time
good
job, right? Destiny 2, me and Barrett tried to do it. And we were like, all right, cool. And we got in there and it was like, what are we doing? All right, this is the cool thing. And then that
new
wasn't
currencies
free, so we need to buy. We're like, all right, we're out of it. And it's the same thing, you know, not even to attack Destiny 2 for some reason. Like, it's the same thing for me. Like, I have more than 900 hours into DC Universe Online. And when I try to come back for an anniversary event, it's just like over. I'm like, what is going on? Where are the armors I should be buying? What is happening? And I bounce off because it's overwhelming.
The whole place changed currency. You no longer use the old things that you used to
100%.
Use.
100%. That happens all the time. And the marketplace is all jacked up. They got exobytes everywhere. I don't know what's happening.
Well, I expect a couple of tweets from Gino and from Alex O'Neill to tell you to get back in. Oh, no. Gino's all about Final Fantasy 14. Alex O'Neill will be the one to get mad at you and say, it's not that tough. Let me actually, you know,
but it's like, I want to jump in and have fun with the game. And I think that's why these shorter experiences work to some extent, right? Whereas I do feel like something like, let's say, Back for Blood, which I missed. Right, Benjamin had the nerve to be born like right at release date.
The nerve of this guy.
You know what I mean? Everything's got to revolve around him, this kid. Every time he makes me wipe his bottom, I'm like, this isn't about you all the time. You know what I mean? Do something for yourself.
Yeah.
But I miss that boat. But when they drop DLC or there's some anniversary event or whatever, that's the kind of game I can drop back in and we're going to be fine with. Okay, run and kill things. It doesn't matter. Maybe it'll be even better. It's similar to what happened with World War Z, where we played that here and there. But then when they did that bigger update and we dropped in, it was like, okay, cool. I understand what's happening.
Over the weekend, I put in even more time into Rainbow Six Extraction, and I want to get back in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like raid ready, whatever this raid is that they have, the level 16, whatever the incursion. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know like I know what the title is, Greg. But I'm excited for that. And I think I put in enough time into Rainbow Six Extraction to do the final thing and then say, all right, later, Rainbow Six Extraction, I'll see you for whatever the next big update is, or the next Ubisoft game I'll probably play is likely going to be whatever they come out with the Division. Because I'll be right there with you, Greg. I'll be
Let's
clicking
go.
Heads with you.
Let's go.
There better be crossplay. I can't wait to experience another Division game with you, Greg. It was some fun. Great times. Enough of story number
content
one.
For DLC 2.
Wait, what?
Division 2. Still getting Division 2 content at some point. Remember, really? That got pushed. That was supposed to be last year because of the surge they saw at the end of Warlords for New York. And they're like, we'll make more. And they're like, all right, cool. It's taking longer. So it'll be, I think they actually said February. Maybe they said spring, but I thought they said February.
I was going to move on to the next story, but did you ever finish that raid?
The first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did the first one.
Oh, wow.
That one we were able to. I think we did it. I only ever did it on easy mode or whatever. You know, not, I didn't do it on normal, whatever the one they put in that was like not casual, but like it was less insulting because it was so impossible to play. But yes, I did do it to get the trophy.
Story number two. Speaking of PlayStation, PS5 sales fall behind PS4's pace due to semiconductor shortage. This comes from Jeff Grubb at GamesBeat.com. Y'all may have heard of him. Sony shipped 3.9 million PlayStation 5 consoles during its fiscal quarter three. That brings the company's total to 17.3 million PS5s shipped as the end at the end of 2021. While that is another strong number for one of the fastest selling consoles ever, it is down to the 4.5 million Sony shipped during the same period last year. Sony told investors that this shortcoming is due to supply chain disruptions and component shortages. The company also expects these issues to continue. An easy way to understand the detrimental effects of the shortage is to compare the PS5s to PS4. By most measures, demand for the PS5 is equal to or greater than that of the PS4 at this same time in its life cycle. But Sony has managed to ship 20.2 PS4s during the same time frame. Mm-hmm. Again, this has nothing to do with an inability to sell the PS5s and has everything to do with an inability to source key components to make PS5s. During Q4 of 2014, Sony sold 6.4 million PS4s. And we have a little chart here from Daniel Ahmad or Chuge EX on Twitter, which y'all, I'm sure, see on Twitter quite a bit next to Nibillion and Wario64. Kevin, can you bring up this chart that's in the document?
It's been up for most of the time.
Oh, man, you got it, Kevin. You're all over it, big dog. The PlayStation 5 is sold in 17.3 million units as of December 31st, 2021. I feel like a lot of this news isn't too surprising, Greg. I think we knew PlayStation is going to sell as many as they can possible if they have the product to actually sell. We knew that was always going to be sort of the barrier for Sony trying to break any sort of records that the PS4 did. I'm not too surprised by a lot of this news, Greg.
It's not surprising. It's more heartbreaking, I think, especially when you look at when you look at the chart here, right? And the fact that even in the midst of this semiconductor shortage, right, and the pandemic and everything else, PS5 and Sony at that point were able to keep comparable to the PlayStation 4 numbers, right? You see all these things where even when they fall behind in Q2 and Q3, it's minimal. It's not that bad. But then you look at Q4 here and bam, just this runaway thing of like what could have been. And I know, obviously, you know, I was going to say nobody's carrying water for PlayStation. I know so many people on the internet would tell you the other thing for Greg Miller. But I think more interesting about this is like it sucks for PlayStation and it does suck for gamers because I do think that this happening means you will see more of the cross-gen games. You'll see more things that are, all right, cool, it's PlayStation 4 and it is PlayStation 5. We were on the fence about doing it. Now we are going to do it, which, of course, doesn't mean the PS5 version is going to suck. It'll still have fast travel or, you know, instant saves and all that jazz. But it does mean that they aren't going full bore on the PlayStation 5, which is great if you don't have a PlayStation 5. But then if you do have a PlayStation 5, like we have this weird generation that when we look back at the history, I think you're going to see that it was stunted in the way that it just didn't get, it was doing so well. People want these units, but they couldn't get them. So then games had to like, you know, counterbalance that by making games that still could be played on PlayStation 4, could be played on, well, Xbox and play anywhere.
I'd be so interested to actually get a list of games that were maybe meant to only be PS5 and meant to only be played on the latest console. And then maybe early on in production, kind of getting the news of, hey, bad-ish news, we're going to have to scale back for the PS4 as well. And mostly because there's a lot of units out there for sale as well.
For sure.
That's a big positive for them as well. Yeah, this reminds me, Greg, that big star team injuries all over the place. And you're like, wow, they were just keeping pace. It wasn't their year, Greg. Wasn't their year. Poor Sony. Really got to feel bad for them at this point.
As they pick up their $100,000 bills and get their tears off them.
I know. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I don't know. That's the what ifs are always kind of the thing that interests me in this industry.
For sure.
Because I'd love to know if at any point God of War Ragnarok was meant to be a PS5 game. I feel like maybe that is these things take time to develop, and obviously I think they may have been able to see this news coming for quite some time, so I don't think it's as reactionary as we might think, but still, there's going to be some really cool stories.
Conversations happening now where I would have been interested to see for PlayStation Studios, when did they have the conversation about, all right, cool, let's just say for argument's sake, God of War Ragnarok's the last game that'll be cross-gen. From there, we'll move on. And then as this has continued to go, maybe that line has started to slide out a bit more.
Yeah, agreed, Greg. Story number three. A break from sales, the Dying Light 2 review roundup.
That's a zombie. I did a internet? Zombie news for you.
Oh, I thought you had an internet issue.
No, I'm not like Plus.
Got it.
He's in the chat. He's like, I'm going to put the 10 games on Twitter. Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
What the hell?
You got to do 5G enough to be on the show. You can't come in here host the show. I got to come in and do this thing.
This story was put up by Blessing, and he kind of gathered all the scores and everything. Right now, Dying Light 2 is sitting at a Metacritic of 79 and Open Critic of 74. We have a couple of review, quick little quips here from different writers. This is from Travis Northup on IGN, who gave Dying Light 2 a 7 out of 10, says, another in the long series of big, ambitious games whose potential greatness is visible just beneath a grimy layer of bugs. Dying Light 2 Stay Human could very likely become the stellar zombie survival adventure it's meant to be someday. For now, though, it's best to add it to your backlog. Unless your irritation with crashes and technical issues is outweighed by eagerness to dance across rooftops with its excellent parkour, which, when everything works, is an unforgettable way to explore the last city's open world and join in the post-apocalyptic stories of its many weird and distinctive characters. No patch can fix a forgettable main plot or the protagonist I couldn't pick out of a police lineup even after 80 hours in his shoes. But Dying Light 2's streets tell their own stories. And we have a little video up right now that Kevin is showing on our TikTok. A little review you did, Greg. I saw that. Very cool stuff.
Yeah, you kind of watch it and like it and click the button and do the thing and leave a comment and all that jazz.
You seem to agree with a lot of the main sort of story issues that I noticed.
Oh, 100%. I think, you know, of course, right, we're doing a new thing with TikTok where we're putting up, obviously, TikToks on at Kind of Funny Games, so go check those out. But with reviews, we're trying to put up, you know, these 40-second reviews that then, you know, tell you to go listen to the Gamescast, which is available right now, where you can get a long, long discussion between me, Snow White Mike, Janet Blessing, and Tim Hosting about Dying Light 2. And yeah, Travis's review on IGN woke up this morning, and I love review embargoes, Andy, to pop up and be like, are we crazy? You know what I mean? Like, it's always that thing of like, did people get the same experience out of this game? Do I agree with how other things are going? So I read Travis at IGN. I read GameSpot's too, and name escapes me on who wrote GameSpot's. But they're all echoing the same stuff we talk about in the review and what I'm talking about in the video you're watching, where Dying Light 2 is a ton of fun. The parkour is amazing. It is awesome. I'm streaming Dying Light 2 here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames after this episode. Get it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. And it is a great, fun game to play. The problem is that my main problem with it is that the story is garbage. Like, and it ends super, it does not pay off in the end. And it's just a goofy ass ending that is like, okay, whatever. And you might say, well, you know, do we care about story? It's an RPG. It's an open world RPG. Like, that's a place I do care about stories. I want to be motivated by the quests I'm going on and the characters I'm with. And especially for a game like Dying Light that does so much with choice, there are a lot of small choices. There are some big choices in the game. And the fact that the story isn't good and the characters don't feel great means that I don't really care about any of the choices I'm making. Like, I wrote them all down for the review and for a spoiler cast. I think we're going to do on PS I Love You's post show this next week. And it was that thing of like reading through them, like, I don't even remember who this character was. Like, why did I pick this guy over that guy? Because it's all just this, like, you know, palette of like blah. Now, on top of that, there are a bunch of bugs. I had bugs primarily, if not only, in the final hour, where it's like, all right, cool, you're going into the end game here. Like, you're sure you want to go? Once we did that, I had a bunch of bugs with the final boss fight. Blessing had way more bugs than me. I guess I had a save bug like Blessing did too, but that they saved and they patched out. Blessing had bugs there. He had bugs at the end. Mike had bugs on his Xbox throughout, like, and most of the reviews are talking about the number of bugs they've run into. I put up a tweet right before this went live, the show. We got an email from PR for Techland that was thanking everybody. Like, it's, you know, a general email of like, thanks for, you know, reviewing the game or going on the journey. Just a heads up, you know, obviously we've seen the reviews, we've seen the problems people have with the bugs. we wanted to point out all the stuff that's going to be in the day one patch. And I have this laundry list of day one patch updates that are going to be in this thing. And so, like, they know it too, of like, that's what's happening. So, yeah, I line up with the IGN 7, the GameSpot 6. I thought those were right in there. I do recommend it. I think it's a great time. Like, we're about to go play it after this. And, you know, I enjoy playing it, but you have to set your expectations for what you're getting out of it.
Gotcha. And on the more positive side of reviews, we have a quick little review roundup here from Andrew Reiner at Game Informer, who gave it a 9.5 out of 10. Says, Dying Light 2 is an engaging journey of discovery and gaining power. Almost everything you do embraces those dynamics. In evolving beyond the first game's offerings, putting a stronger emphasis on the characters helps shape the world in meaningful ways. Some of Aiden's choices are difficult, especially those surrounding a character named Lawan, who is given a hell of a pulse by Rosario Dawson. And you kind of agreed with that. You said that her performance was really good. But
Rosario's the standout for sure. Clerks 2 is Rosario Dawson.
Oh, right. That's right. I forgot that. Not as good as Lord of the Rings, though. I can't say enough great things where his and her story goes. I adored almost every second of this game and see myself often revisiting it. As Techland has announced, at least 5 years of DLC is on the way. That's a wonderful promise to hear when starting a new game that has turned out this well. Banana. Why did it end with that?
I didn't read the Andrew Reiner thing. I don't know why
No. That's definitely that's a me thing. I just wanted to see if he'd read it or not.
I was wondering.
I thought maybe it was like a joke he had made. Maybe he made banana jokes in the article or something, or it was an emoji or whatever.
I forgot.
Andrew Reiner, I love and respect. I think, you know, and I haven't read his whole review, so 9.5 seems so high for me for the game I played there. But I do enjoy this game. What I do think is really worth pointing out here is that Techland has announced at least 5 years of DLCs on the way. I didn't know that off the top of my head. I know that Techland, of course, supported the first Dying Light for 5 years. So one of the things I talk about in the review is the fact that, you know, if we're going to get hung up on bugs, that's one thing. That was going to get patched. This is going to be that. It'll be interesting what this game evolves into. And again, as somebody who enjoys playing it so much, I definitely can see this being that they drop a new island, they drop some new quests that I'd want to get back in there and go for it. My hope is that, you know, when review season here clears, I can double back and look at it. And the platinum, I don't know about, because they got a couple trophies at the end, Andy. They're like, get these collectibles. Ooh. And it's like, there were a lot of collectibles, and I would not put it past that at least one of them is in a place I can't get back to, and I'm not going to replay to go get them, so we'll see. But it's still fun. I can't wait to play it with Mike here afterwards. Not with him, but, you know. But
meteorologists have been, you know, forecasting that review season won't be done for a long time. It's going to be a longer one this time of year. For some reason, I hear it's lasting until August or so. Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. If you've been listening to any kind of funny podcast, you know that we absolutely love using DoorDash. It's so great. It's so simple to just be able to order whatever food we want and then have it delivered right to our house, along with the restaurants you love. You can now get groceries and other essential items delivered with DoorDash. You can get some drinks, snacks, and other household items in under an hour. With over 300,000 partners, you can support your neighborhood go-tos. We're always talking about Volcano Curry in San Francisco, of course. Ordering is easy, and your items will be left outside your door when you choose contactless delivery drop-off, whether it is the local favorites or the nationwide chains, like things like Popeyes, Cheesecake Factory, all of that. For a limited time, y'all can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code KINDAFUNNY. That's 25% off, up to a $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code KINDAFUNNY. Don't forget, that's code KINDAFUNNY for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply.
We have breaking news, Greg Miller, that I didn't know about, that you posted a little link in here in our document. Breaking news, Ghostwire Tokyo. They're having a February 2022 official showcase premiering tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific time. The game is releasing on March 25th. And there's a YouTube video that I'm assuming is a little kind of teaser for this, or
no? So what happened is this came from, Blessing can't be on the show apparently, but he can read Twitter and put Wario64 tweets into Kind of Funny Games Daily. So there's no blog post up, which I think is interesting because usually you time these out with it, but there is the YouTube video, the YouTube premiere, where it's counting down to premiere in 27 hours right now on the official PlayStation channel. So that's super exciting. I often forget that Ghostwire Tokyo is coming up, Andy.
That, I mean, for it to be that soon, I didn't ever think that it would be a February or a March, early spring type game. It seems like a game that's going to keep on getting delayed until, you know, 2023 or something like that. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's the game that I think we, you know, there was a lot of promise there for me. And I think some of the more recent things that they showed kind of dropped me. I kind of lost interest.
What was the turnoff, you think?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe just the gameplay. I liked more of the sort of mystery. And now this is kind of a horror.
I was going to say, you're not a scary game guy. And like, that's kind of seems what this is.
Usually not, but I feel like a lot of the vibes of it reminded me of Control. The sort of weirdness, psychological sure. type okay. of stuff really kind of gets me excited for it.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping it's got a lot of those sort of weird hooks visually and story-wise that'll bring me in. Ultimately, I'm really not that type of gamer, Greg. I get way too scared, dude.
You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't hang. I understand. It's not your jam.
I don't understand how you have the stomach for it.
I love being scared. You know what I mean? It reminds me I'm alive.
Who are you going to point out right now in chat? Were you going to point out somebody in chat?
No. I was going to make a comment to you of like how you're. It doesn't make sense. I was looking at the gameplay from it. And I was going to make some kind of joke about how you walk around doing this a lot because you know that's how you play this game. There's a lot of this and stuff in this. And that's the thing is, I think, you know, I'm watching the PlayStation trailer, PlayStation Showcase 2021, Hanya official gameplay trailer or whatever. And it's that idea of like. It doesn't look, I don't know what we expected it to look like when we first saw it, remember? Because it was that everybody's walking around Tokyo and then they were gone, right? Remember, it was just the Shiba or whatever. And it was like, oh, what's going on? This one looks not weird, but it looks more fantastical than I was expecting. And I like it. It looks like you're fighting ghosts and stuff, which would make sense with Ghostwire or whatever. But I'm still interested to see it. It does look like, it gives me Fatal Frame vibes, which I liked a lot.
It gave me what's the game that you and or the Blessing really wanted to come back? Eternal Darkness.
Yeah,
it gave me those type of vibes, just like very, very psychological, weird stuff. A show that would be on HBO that you're like in episode 5, you're like, I don't know what's going on in this show yet. Like, I have no idea what the hell's happening.
That is very apt, Andy. Yeah, I can see that.
Next story. This is we're back to sales stories. This is from Marie. How do I pronounce his last name right here, Greg?
This is from this is Marie D'Alessandre, right? D'Alessandre. Damn it,
Marie D.
I've said Marie's last name a million times, but I have to psych myself up for it because you know I'm a big moron.
Marie D. from Game Industry Biz. This is says. EA says Battlefield 2042 sales were disappointing during EA's earning call for quarter three of fiscal year 2022. CEO Andrew Wilson. Touched upon Battlefield 2042's disappointing sales. In its quarterly results report, EA initially gave very few details about the title's performance, but during the call, Wilson admitted it was a tough launch. We did have a challenge in Q3 as the launch of Battlefield 2042 did not meet expectations, he said. Battlefield 2042 was always an ambitious game, and our teams pushed to innovate across many dimensions, including massive scale and 128-player matches, new modes, new dynamic gameplay, and more. Developing this game with our teams working from home for nearly 2 years ultimately proved to be challenging. He pointed out unanticipated performance issues with the title as well as design decisions, which did not resonate with everyone. Battlefield 2042 will continue to be updated in the weeks ahead, Wilson continued, adding that its first season of live content is being pushed back to early summer 2022. CFO Blake Jorgensen mentioned a tough Battlefield launch as well, also deeming its sales disappointing. We're committed to turning Battlefield around and building a sustainable live service. Even if some of the actions we're taking, like moving the first season into fiscal year 2023, impact net bookings in the short term. Greg Miller, are we surprised by any of this?
I hate net bookings in the short term, Andy. Oh, God. It drives me crazy.
You've been watching Succession too, huh? I finally finished it, Greg. My gosh, my annoyance when I realized that there was only 9 episodes in season 3.
Yeah.
Where's episode 10? What are we doing here? Anyway, I'm not surprised by any of this news, Greg. I think we sort of saw a lot of this coming.
See it coming when we hated Battlefield? Was that the giveaway?
Well, I think back to my first preview session. when we couldn't even really get into the game because there was a big Amazon online web services outage, and we couldn't really even test it out, unfortunately, for Battlefield. But at the time, we just thought it was an issue with the game, and it's me and Snowback Mike, and we're with Bruce Green, who has got to be the world's biggest Battlefield fan of all time. And Bruce is like, no, what you all need to understand is this game's going to be broken for about 2.5 to 3 years. And then it'll get really, really good. But this is just what Battlefield does. Like, I'm used to this. I'm the biggest fan, and I understand this is kind of how the games go. And that was a big bummer to me.
Why be a fan of that, Bruce? And have never played Uncharted, any of them. Are you kidding me?
Wait, what? Oh, wait, he did, though. Didn't he?
He just did it, like, 2 weeks ago, where he did a 24-hour stream or whatever, where he had never played any Uncharted, so he started there. Yeah, but I mean, he's exhausted. He's trying to shove them all into this 24-hour thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got
to
do it quick.
I rated him. He said that you were berating him in the chat.
I'm berating him right now. Because that's the thing. Is like, you know, not only had he never played an Uncharted.
It's just what Greg does.
He then put it onto his audience and said, all right, you know, maybe I'll play through all of them if you pay me money. You know what I mean? And then when it was done, he goes, I'm going on vacation with Autumn. And then they just went away. You know what I mean?
No fanfare, no review.
You
know what
I mean? You hear about all these crypto bros, you know, fleecing people out of money for NFTs. Who's going to blow the whistle on Bruce, everybody? Blow the whistle on Bruce Green, all right? Where did all that Twitch money for Uncharted go to? Hawaii?
You're trying to get to the bottom of this.
really look at my financial records.
What's up, Kev?
I said, don't be this person, Craig.
Don't call him out. What are we doing right now? Anyway, a lot of this news is not super surprising. We saw the way it launched. We saw that they were missing features like having a scoreboard, which was like something I couldn't even fathom, that you couldn't hit tab to check out what the score was and how many kills you had and like in-game stats at certain moments. It was just kind of bizarre that there was a lot of like just common things missing that they said we're looking to add some of those things later into the game. So I'm not super surprised by it. I was always going to be down on Battlefield 42 just based on what the gameplay is. It's always felt inconsequential. I've never feel like I have really a stake in what's happening. I'm kind of just, I've always mentioned that it feels like the pregame lobby for Warzone, where I just drop in and I'm waiting to enter a match in 2 minutes, and I'm just shooting shit.
None of this matters. You're not really trying super hard.
It's just, I just don't really feel like I'm more of the like 4v4 type of player where I feel like what I do actually dictates how the match is going to go. So it's never really been the game for me anyway. But I understand that a lot of Battlefield hardcore fans were obviously pretty disappointed with it as well. Story number 5. More breaking news from Greg Miller.
This is also from Blessing at AOA Jr., so shout out to him.
Man, he's killing it out there. Good job.
Maybe we should just not have... He's doing his best work with no power. You know what I mean? Because I don't know if you know, ladies and gentlemen.
Like Spider-Man. Sure. Take away the suit. If you're nothing without a suit, you don't deserve it. Little Robert Downey Jr.
Great impression. You nailed that. I'm sorry. Back to the news.
This is breaking news. Suicide Squad video game is delayed until 2023. This comes from Jason Schreier. Who predicted this in the games cast? Didn't somebody?
Greg Miller.
Shut up!
I don't think it was my full-blown prediction. I think when we were talking about the fact of like Gotham Knights versus Suicide Squad, and somebody was like, I think Suicide Squad is going to hop in front of Gotham Knights. I was like, I don't think so at all.
Oh, I think Barrett said that. Good job, Barrett. Or bad job, Barrett? I don't know.
You know what? We'll decide. In January, we'll figure out who was right. Doesn't matter.
Okay, gotcha. We'll see how many points get removed in 2024 is what I'm most excited about.
That's the big problem.
Warner Media has quietly delayed a video game based on the Suicide Squad comic books until 2023, according to people familiar with its development. Several other big video game projects from Warner Brothers have also been pushed back. Titles based on Harry Potter, Batman, and a Lego version of Star Wars were all planned for 2021, but slipped into this year due to production problems caused by the pandemic and other development challenges. Warner Bros. Had originally said that the Suicide Squad game, which features a crew of comic book anti-heroes battling against brainwashed superheroes like Superman, would also be out in 2022. It feels weird to say Warner Bros.
Yeah, just feels like when you say Warner Brothers, it's like saying when you see CORP, core. Isn't it making or CORPS?
I think
that sounds stupid.
Once I got really good at that, I was like, wow, this is like a new level for me to say core instead of corpse.
Sure. You know what I mean? Well, corpse makes sense. I hate the fact that like why have all these invisible rules to language? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just, you put the letters down, I'm going to say them. That's how
suddenly
it is.
The word woe is being changed in the spelling.
Don't even get me started on that. I'm not surprised by this. I thought, you know, once Gotham Knight slipped, I just assumed, why would you put Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad out there if you're WB? Like, obviously give people time and obviously pandemic and all that stuff. But I think you got to start juggling how many superhero games you're putting out from WB that are kind of in the same thing of like the Batman Arkham universe, which I know Gotham Knights is. I know this one is. But, you know, you vibe with what I'm saying here. I'm not saying they're exactly the same, but I think if you're WB, you want to spread that love a bit more.
I was kind of really excited about the more recent showing from it that we saw, where it definitely shows it's a much different game what Gotham Knights is trying to be.
Oh,
it is definitely this sort of more of a four-player, third-person shooter type game with characters that have these really different, unique abilities. I was a lot more encouraged by the second showing that we saw from it. Because up until then, it had always been, I'm going to play Gotham Knights. It looks like I'm not really going to care about what Suicide Squad has to say or do. But that more recent showing, I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of differentiating itself. And it's going to be in a different sort of area of gameplay. It's not trying to they're not going to be on the same game on two different spectrums, you know.
For me, it's that Gotham Knights, I can't wait to play because I love those heroes. I love Batgirl, I love Nightwing, you know what I mean? I love Robin. I want to get in there. I want to be those characters. I want to play those with my friends. Suicide Squad, I don't have unbelievable hype for Suicide Squad. I'm way more hype for Knights. Suicide Squad, I'm hyped for strictly because it's Rocksteady. Like, I like the Suicide Squad, fine. I like Harley, fine. Like, you know, I enjoy the Harley cartoon more than I enjoyed the movies. I'm not stoked about Suicide Squad. And I know I've already had a soapbox about this in the past of like, I want to play games to be Superman, not fight Superman.
Right.
And of course, you know, Monolith, Here's My Call, they're making a Wonder Woman game that I can't fucking wait for. Like, I'm glad that there's diversity out there, but like everything I've seen from Suicide Squad, I go, all right, like I trust Rocksteady. I think they're incredibly talented developers. I want to see what they're making, but I'm not like, I can't wait to do it.
Well, people will have to wait until 2023 Suicide Squad, the video game. So for people looking forward to it, sorry, you're going to have to wait. Play Hyper Light Drifter until then. It's another game that you might have some interest in. Story numbers.
Are they similar?
Well, you know, Greg, at this, it's a game, right?
That's true. You're using a controller or a mouse and keyboard to play. That makes sense.
Thank you, Greg. Story number 8, 9. I'm not sure. We've had some breaking news things that have like popped in here, so I've lost count. This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. A Halo Infinite update on seasonal, co-op, and forge plans has been delayed. 343 Industries has said it needs additional time before it can publicly announce its future plans for Halo Infinite. The studio has previously intended its published details about upcoming Halo Infinite content, including its seasonal roadmap and launch plans for campaign co-op and Forge mode in January. Joseph Staten, head of creative for Halo Infinite, has said providing this information to his fans is his top priority, but that the studio needs longer before it can offer assurances of when content will be ready. In November, I said we'd have a Halo Infinite update on our seasonal roadmap, co-op, and Forge in January, he tweeted. We need more time to finalize our plans, so what we share is something you can rely on. This work is my top priority, and we'll have an update as soon as we can. Halo Infinite has sort of, for me, Greg, we've seen the popularity wane for sure. We've seen the way the numbers, in terms of like even things like Twitch viewership, have definitely skewed back to the normal thing you're used to seeing, Warzone and Apex, where, you know, for the first several weeks of Halo Infinite's launch, it was up there pretty consistently. I think the most hope I have for Halo Infinite are the numbers that we're seeing in the esports world. But again, a lot of this stuff is just kind of Twitch viewership and not indicative of how the game is really performing. What do you think this delay is going to do for multiplayer, Greg? Do you think people are going to continue to fall off of it more? Do you think maybe this will provide a boost when it does come back in a strong form for co-op?
I mean, inevitably, whenever it comes back, it'll get a boost. That's just how updates work, I think, on multiplayer games that are seeing an audience wane off of it. I don't know if it ever becomes a powerhouse, though, you know? And this is something that, as I love multiplayer, but I love PvE, right? And so when you guys talk about PvP, I kind of step back because, like, it's a rare game that gets me to go like, oh man, I can't wait to go head to head with lobbies and do all these different things. And so what I've always found interesting watching the build up to this is that, you know, Halo Infinite needed to get new audience members and it needed to bring in the old audience of Halo, right? And I really feel like it did a great job of bringing in the old audience of Halo and making it new again and having that moment. But I just didn't see how it was going to, and again, I'm saying this is uncultured, uneducated on it. I didn't see how it was going to be able to keep that as an ongoing thing, how it would be able to be a Warzone, a Fortnite, a Destiny in some way. And so like, here we are on the other side of it. It seems like that's the whole thing. And I'll be interested to see, you know, what goes on with the Forge mode. Campaign co-op would be interesting. You know, I started Halo Infinite and dropped off really quickly. I think if you were going to do it or we were going to do a stream of it, that'd be a lot of fun to go through and do together and have that fun. But yeah, I think it'll have another boost, but I don't think it's going to be a powerhouse.
It's interesting because when Halo launched, I think a lot of our thoughts are very similar when it comes to different multiplayer games, where this is not going to have the stuff. This isn't going to have what it takes to stay there long term. But I think there was a period in its initial launch where we kind of said, oh, shit, maybe Halo does have the stuff. We thought it was going to fall off a lot quicker, like most of the other multiplayer games quickly fall off. And I think it stayed there certainly a lot longer than, I mean, I shouldn't say Hyperscape. That game just got completely canceled. But you know what I mean? Like a game like Knockout City or a game, you know, the multiplayer games that kind of pop up and
they come and go. Those weekend games you're talking about at the top of the PlayStation, right?
Exactly. But for a while there, I think Halo provided the most hope for maybe a new game to get squeezed into that genre of the ones that have that are always going to be on the top of Twitch and YouTube viewership. The games that are going to constantly kind of be at the forefront of the multiplayer conversation. I still play Halo like every other night at this point. I'm still hopping in.
I don't hear you talk about it though. You know what I mean? And granted, I know you're streaming, so it's different. Like you run such an interesting content portfolio that I love how you contextualize or compartmentalize what you talk about on a games cast versus what you're off streaming and stuff like that.
I mean, a lot of time I'm not even streaming this, Greg. I haven't streamed this in a while. A lot of the times it's just at night I'll just hop in solo and just try to get more XP to unlock that new seasonal thing, because right now they're still running that cyber shadow. I forget. No, Cyber Shadow is a game that came out in January 2022 that was real hard, or 2021 that was real hard at the end of it. Anyway, we'll see if Halo kind of has the stuff to come back in a strong way. It's not looking great so far, but I know the player base is still strong, right? Like, I hate when people jump to the dead game sort of thing.
Of course,
it's not a dead game by any means. I think it's just we thought I was going to be able to stick up and stand up to the Warzones and Apexes of the world.
For sure.
Next story comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. Journey, Skyrim, and Spider-Man developers announce a new studio. This is Gardens Dev. Gardens is the developer with a logo made by Corey Schmitz, one of my favorite graphic designers in the industry.
Why do I know that name?
Corey Schmitz, he works for PlayStation. He does a lot of logos for PlayStation.
Gotcha.
We've talked about his logo work on a lot of different shows. I always bring him up because I've been following the dude forever on social media because I've just always been a fan of his work design. A group of designers whose credits include Journey, What Remains of Edith Finch, and Sky, Children of the Light have formed a new studio called Gardens, functioning as a fully remote studio, but based primarily in Portland and Los Angeles. Gardens was co-founded by president and creative director Chris Bell, technical director Lexi Dostal, and narrative director Stephen Bell. Its goal is to create online games that foster meaningful multiplayer interactions and encourage players to be considerate of each other and the world around them. That sounds lovely as hell. I love that a lot. Likewise, the studio aims to offer a healthy experience for its employees, promising to put transparency, health, and an inclusive work environment first, with equitable pay, mentorship, and a continued commitment to diversify the voices within. The wider Gardens team includes executive producer Sarah Sands from Fulbright, lead artist Ryan Benno, Spider-Man Ratchet and Clank. I've been following Ryan a long time as well. Principal engineer Rose Bale, back when I was in game dev, and I would just follow different people that were just senior artists or art directors, stuff like that. That was me trying to mingle, Greg, into the industry.
Put
out my feelers, you know what I mean?
You get those tentacles out.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Really gross stuff.
Go up and up and up.
Nope, don't want that. Principal engineer Rose Dale from Skyrim and Fallout 4. Senior engineer Roldan Melkon, who worked on Blazeball and Where Cards Fall. Gameplay engineer Tanya Beglari, who worked on Monster Hunter World, Iceborne. And art director Leighton Milne, who worked on Ashen and The Hobbit. Funny story, Greg. Whenever I would see the word Blazeball written out, it's obviously Blazeball.
Yeah,
I would always read it as Blase Ball.
Oh, okay, sure.
I don't know. It was just a stupid thing in my brain. I would always do that. But this studio sounds like the ideal place to work, and it sounds lovely. And I might apply, Greg. I don't know why. Like, I have no interest.
Andy, don't do that. That doesn't.
I just don't really have interest working there. But it sounds just really nice. Like, it's one of those things where it's
functioning as a fully remote studio. So if you could just do that job and your job here, that'd be great, I guess.
I could barely do my job here though, let's be honest though.
Yeah,
let's
fair
be
enough.
Honest.
This studio sounds great, you know what I mean? I think even looking at just the logo there for Gardens, I'm like, yeah, this is a Greg Miller ass studio. This is some shit that I'm gonna want to play for sure. Journey, What Remains of Edith Finch, yeah. Sky, yeah, okay, cool, okay. And you start reading through it, you're like, yeah, Fulbright, okay, so Gone Home, one of my favorite games of all time. Spider-Man, all right, one of the best superhero games of all time. Ratchet Clank, great game. Skyrim, Fallout 4, Where Cards, it's like, okay, yeah, this is gonna be a team that I'm going to be interested to see what they come up with.
Multiplayer experiences, though, which is pretty interesting. Like, I'm envisioning Battle Royale. You're all children of divorce with really tough, parent backgrounds, right? You're all landing, and you're all kind of just connecting with each other and figuring out, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just all sort of, like, meaningful stuff in life, you know?
I would think more like a journey, right? Like, just journey. Like, you know, very peaceful and calm. And you're doing
a third-person shooter, maybe. Story number 12. I'll say 14 at this point. This one is really exciting for me yesterday. This is and for a lot of the internet, Yacht Club's mega announcement was Mina the Hollower. This comes from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. If y'all don't know, yesterday, Yacht Club had a special sort of event with G4 yesterday where they revealed their brand new project that has nothing to do with Hollow Knight, and it's very, very exciting. The developer of Shovel Knight has announced a brand new game called Mina the Hollower, a top-down action-adventure in a Game Boy Color style. At its Yacht Club Games Presents event, the developer launched a Kickstarter campaign to help fund the new project, promising a bone-chilling action-adventure with an 8-bit aesthetic redefined for the modern era. The studio's release of Shovel Knight in 2014, again, 8 years ago, Greg. 8 damn years ago. For me and Greg, Shovel Knight always kind of marks the beginning of a certain era of indie game for me. And I can't believe that was almost a decade ago. That really, really hurts.
They did so much with this game.
Exactly. So many different spinoffs. It hurdled it in the mainstream success and spawned several spinoffs, but it hasn't revealed a new franchise until today, which was yesterday. Yacht Club has published non-Shovel Knight games, but never developed one itself. Mina the Hollower will, like Shovel Knight before it, combine classic and modern styles and will feature 60 frames per second combat in a world of mystery and horror. Yacht Club Games director and designer Alec Faulkner said the studio was returning to Kickstarter to recreate the feeling of Shovel Knight's development, which was also funded through the crowdfunding service. We want your feedback, collaboration, and support in making Mina the Hollower the best game it can possibly be, he said. That's why we're returning to our roots and kicking off Mina the Hollower's development as a Kickstarter campaign. Though we're financing a majority of this project ourselves, we hope we can create a more expansive game this way. More importantly, we want to build a community around Kickstarter, much like we did with Shovel Knight. Mina the Hollower has already met its initial Kickstarter goal just hours after the campaign launched. At its time of writing, the game has accrued more than $419,000 USD, comfortably passing its original goal of $311,000. I was trying to make a 311 joke right there, Greg. I just didn't quite work out. This game looks absolutely incredible. This is
your jam, right? Yeah, for sure.
This is absolutely my jam. I am a massive fan of Link's Awakening, and when the remake came out, I devoured that over a weekend. Yacht Club just understands style and art direction and music, and this is something that I'm just super into, combining a lot of really cool mechanics from games of, you know, the 90s of yore. That's the word I was going to say, but I was like, is that the right word to use right now? I don't know, Greg. This looks absolutely adorable, and yeah, they're absolutely crushing it with whatever their direction is. Greg, is this something that you look to play in the future?
No.
No.
I it's one of those where I obviously know how talented Yacht Club is, but they just make games that aren't Greg Miller games, where I look at this and I'm like, totally cool, and I understand why people love the retro stuff, but even Shovel Knight I just couldn't get into. It's just not my jam.
Shovel Knight's a game that like made me tear up with excitement at the end. The final moment of being like, oh my gosh, like I'm tearing up at an 8-bit platform. This is very bizarre. So I'm very excited for Meeta the Hollower. They are totally nailing that sort of top-down Zelda aesthetic. So shout out to Yacht Club. Congrats to them for beating that Kickstarter goal. We have one more story that I'll quickly read. Team 17 is not doing NFTs anymore. Team 17 is today announcing an end to the MetaWorms NFT project. We listened to our Teamsters, development partners, and our games communities and the concerns they've expressed and have therefore taken the decision to step back from the NFT space. Greg, assume this will be the first of many other studios to kind of...
Oh, this is far from the first. This is just the latest in the, hey, everybody, we're doing NFTs. We hate NFTs. Hey, we're not doing NFTs. Sorry, misread the room, everybody. Everybody get on the same page. We fucking hate NFTs. Nobody wants them. Go away. Don't try to put them in your games. Even if you think you've solved it, even if you think you have the idea, don't do it. We had a whole thing about this yesterday because all of Team 17's like, Aggro Crab, they came out and they're like, fuck this sucks, and we hate it, and we won't work with them again. And then unprovoked, the fucking Overcooked devs came out like, we're never doing NFTs, fuck NFTs. It's like, people are now to the point where not only are they not going to do NFTs, they're going to be very vocal about not doing them, just to make sure that there's a counter argument out there, I guess, other than the people who are announcing they're doing NFTs, and then immediately backing off.
Man, it's making my prediction look worse and worse, Greg. I went full into thinking Sony was going to do it and then eventually back off, but I don't even know if we'll get to that point,
dude.
Which is encouraging.
Did you see yesterday, this didn't make the rundown here, but even EA backed off. EA!
Wow.
The most evil company backed off. Jason Schreier tweets from yesterday's EA conference call or whatever, right? Incidentally, 3 months after saying NFTs are, quote, the future of our industry, EA CEO Andrew Wilson just said on an earnings call that they're not something the company is currently, quote, driving on. Definitely them reading the tea leaves of like, you know what? Everybody hates this more than they hated loot box. We better back off. We better get out of this.
Hell yeah. That's pretty.
Does this mean NFTs are dead? Of course not. I saw Evolve PR today, a video game PR company, let me try to pull this up, because it was like, ooh, that's not the way I would have taken it if I was putting out a public statement about it. Evolve PR, right? This is the tweet they put up today. PR pro tip. If you're a game studio preparing to announce your NFT or blockchain project, just take a moment, breathe. Realize you will experience significant blowback. It's going to happen. Are you prepared to push through it? If not, don't announce it. Consider other strategies. Is there a market for NFTs? Yes. Is it the general gaming audience? Nope. You'll need to find alternative ways to talk about it if you're not prepared to deal with the blowback. Or just don't do it. Like, I feel like did you murder someone? Yes. Are you prepared for the blowback? No. Hide the murder. Hide the weapon.
A lot of people
Say you relieved them of their life rather than you killed them.
Yeah. Do you want to burn down this rainforest? Yes. Okay. Well, there's a lot of steps you're going to have to take to kind of deal with the backlash from that. This is kind of encouraging, though, Greg. But I hope that we continue to see more and more developers maybe not even get to this point. Maybe we hear more and more stories about, it was something we were thinking about, and then we kind of just read the room and said, maybe not. I think that's a good thing overall for the industry, Greg.
Yeah, we'll see how it keeps going. Obviously, this seemed to be inevitable. It seemed the way everybody's pushing for it, and now there's been a lot of blowback to it. So can gaming stop it? We'll see. Of course, the rest of the world cannot. We were talking about this yesterday. McDonald's, the U.S. Postal Service, the list goes up. Sports everywhere. NFTs out the ass. So
I can't wait for a future where NFTs are no longer something we have to deal with or talk about. But that seems so far away, Greg. If I want to know the upcoming games list, something, where would I go?
I say that part. Don't worry about it. You go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Out today, The Sealed Ampule on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. The Waylanders, PC. Webbed, Xbox One and Switch. Invert on Switch. this next one's got to be some. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, Beebis too.
Who?
Beebis spelled B-E-E-B-I-S-S. Yeah, yeah, Beebis 2 on Switch. The Dead Tree of Rachnuna. Now, yeah, Kevin, this would have been a part to put like fake games that I would have just read, because I definitely would have just believed that they existed.
Yeah, but like that's not Kevin, the point
time,
of it. The,
next
the
time
point
Tam's
is
hosting, put banana in here.
Yeah, but the point is, though, because then you'll be like, oh, a game named Banana. The point is to slip the word somewhere where it doesn't belong.
Gotcha.
With just banana and a period.
You should have done
and just
like,
have you be like banana and hopefully not even notice it. We'll get there. We'll find
banana
somewhere.
2 on banana. That's what you should have done. New dates. This is for new release dates or change dates. Puzzle Quest 3 will launch on March 1st, 2022 and be a free to play on Steam App Store and Google Play stores worldwide.
Cannot fucking wait, Andy. Love Puzzle Quest.
Really? I didn't know that about
you. Do you remember Puzzle Quest? Puzzle Quest is like a definitive, I just started an IGN game for me when that one dropped. I remember when Roper went on paternity leave and he came back and he's like, you can play Puzzle Quest one-handed, so I was fine because it was on Xbox 360 at the time.
Interesting. Remember, everybody, you can write in to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to let us know what we got wrong in this show. There's a host note that says there's a new movement trying to trick you with breaking news here. Ignore it. Only bring up corrections to things you said here. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. I'm assuming Blessing wrote that in. I appreciate that.
Oh, no, Jesus, no. It's funny. No, I wrote that in like 2019.
Oh, really? Wow.
Forever ago. Yeah, there was like a week where somebody was like, I'm going to put breaking news in here and really try to get them. That's something I put in for like Andrea and like Gary, I think.
I guess I've never looked at that section of it. I read the thing that I got to read and I just kind of move on.
Sure.
Nanobiologist writes in that Destiny originally leaked February 2011 as World of Warcraft in space. I remember it leaking and hearing that it was Destiny's, or it was Bungie's Star Wars. That like that's what they were going for. And I was like, wow, that sounds incredible. Yojimo talks about a 10-year plan. It was a 10-year agreement with Activision. 10-year plan. It's a 10-year partnership agreement. It has nothing to do with development of the game proper. Nanobiologist also writes in, Andy, you're talking about the Maelstrom Protocol. Instead of 3 areas, you go to 9 areas. That's for Rainbow Six Extraction. That's kind of like their raid-ish, more challenging thing.
Did you get all the trophies? Nano wrote in for a squad up this week, maybe last. He was trying to get all the achievements. Did that happen, Nano? I'm looking at the chat. Let me know.
We hopped into one of their limited game modes this weekend where like the enemies were super spongy and it's kind of like, all right, there's no stealth here. These enemies are in this room. Kill them. Try not to die. It was a fun time. We had some random with us who was just on it, Greg. This guy was doing like the countdown in the text communication wheel. Nice. Like it would say like the character says 3, 2. What? We'd all bust through. Awesome. It was me and Mike. Just like we were laughing so much. What a great time.
I love Gabe, games are great like that. When you have
Gabe Hewitt's talked about the GameSpot review that you were mentioning, Greg. That Mark Delaney is writing the review in progress for Dying Light.
Thank you very much.
Nanobiologist also says didn't that show note come from Gary and Jared hosting when someone said Persona 5 was announced for Switch?
It was a week where people were given
it. It's a good memory you got there, Nan. I would have never remembered something like that. Very, very impressive. Tomorrow's hosts are Thursday, Greg and Tim. And Friday, Greg and Married to the Games, Gabe Patillo is coming back. What's it? What you got there, Greg?
Ghostbusters Ultimate Collection.
Oh, wow. About that.
You open up and look at there.
Look
there.
How cute it is. Oh,
that's very cute.
Look at this. Oh, it's upside down.
Oh, wow.
Can you put the movies back in? Does the light leak out in any way?
I see what you mean. I don't think so.
It does.
Well, when it's open, yeah.
When all the movies are in there, I think it would have been cool if like the light's still leaking out and then Kevin get a little fog machine and have like the smoke kind of popping out. It would look really cool. If you're watching live on Twitch after this, Greg and Mike are playing Dying Light 2. If you want to catch that stream later, subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. That's where we put all of our gaming content from Twitch. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Greg, rock on and rock on and keep on rocking.
What are you going to say? You going to say something about a cock there? No. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? No.